Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you today because of your love. When I really look at love, everyone wants a love that gives something that we have no idea. But we do know that you love us even before we can love you back. You love us. I can't even comprehend that. But I'm glad that you loved us so much, that you gave Jesus Christ, who loved us so much, that he gave his life that we might be redeemed. And the Holy Spirit gave his life to live inside of us and to teach us and guide us into all truth, even with our rebellious attitudes at times. He is still there to take us through the mountains, the valleys, and everything we need to go through that we might be victorious. I just want to thank you tonight for your glorious power, your glorious love for us, your mercy, your grace. It was your amazing grace that brought us to. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. saying the love is there. I want to accept it. Brother Shannon?
Yes. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, where I'm going to take my text. So follow along with me in your Bible. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Jesus talking, it's in the red. He said, "And I say unto you," Jesus is talking here, "ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Now notice this. The first letter of ask is A. The first letter of seek is S. First letter of knock is K. What does that spell? It spells ask. Maybe there's a hidden thing here in this verse. But anyhow, this is what Jesus said. He said, "And I say unto you, ask." He wanting us to ask. Ask the Father in the name of Jesus, and it shall be given you. That is, if it's his will. And we know his word is his will. And when we know the word of God, we know the will of God. When we know the word of God, we know the mind of God. And ye, he says, "Seek, and ye shall find." We got to seek. "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Notice verse 10. For, notice the next two words, "everyone." You know, a lot of people think when it comes to prayer, if I can get to such and such preacher, they believe that God will hear and answer them. Or if I can get the preacher so-and-so, and they can lay hands on me, then I'll be healed. Beloved, we all have the same right standing with God if you are washed in the blood of Jesus. Jesus said here, "For every one that asketh, receiveth." Remember, don't think, well, you know, they've been in the ministry for so many years, God will hear them quicker than us. No, we have right standing with God. We are in Christ. We're an heir with God. We're a joint heir with Christ. And then he says here, "And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened." A layman can do this. The least person in the body of prayer heard an answer. The least person in the body of Christ can lay hands on the sick and they recover. The least person in the body of Christ, signs and wonders can follow them. He said in verse 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father." In other words, if a father has a son that says, "Father, give me some bread." The Bible says this, "Will he give him a stone?" What Jesus is teaching here is the Father, our Heavenly Father, won't give us nothing bad. "Or he that asks a fish, will he give him, will he for a fish give him a serpent?" In other words, Jesus was saying, if we ask God for something, he's not going to give us nothing bad. The Father only gives us good gifts. God is a liberal giver. God is a good God. Now, I am aware that insurance companies, that when a tornado comes or an earthquake or something, and they'll say it was an act of God. That was not God that did that. God is not doing bad things. God is love. God is a good God. The devil did those bad things. It's the devil that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says here that if we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, that the Father will only give good things to us. Verse 12 says, "Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Notice verse 13. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Notice that. If ye then, being evil, that means if an evil person knows how to give good gifts unto their children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Notice that. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, it will be given to you. And in Psalm chapter 23, verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Notice that. The Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. God is the one that supplies all of our needs. And he says here in Psalm chapter 34, verses 9 and 10, "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." We are to fear the Lord because we're his saints. What makes us saints is the blood of Jesus. "For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Note that. The young lions, they lack, and they suffer hunger. But the Bible said that they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So if we seek the Lord, we'll not want any good thing. And the Bible says in Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." Notice the last part of this verse. "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." God is not withholding good things from us. If we'll walk uprightly before him, God will give us what he promised in his word. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, I'm going to stop with this verse. "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed," note that, "you shall say unto this mountain," to your problems or your sicknesses or to lack, "remove hence to yonder place." But you got to say, you got to talk to him, "and it shall remove, and nothing possible unto you." Note that. Jesus said because of the unbelief. Now, we're not to have unbelief, we're to have faith. "For verily I say unto you," Jesus talking, "if you have faith," notice this, "as a grain of mustard seed." Not the mustard seed, but the grain of mustard seed. That means you don't have to have much faith to get big things done. "You shall say unto this mountain," we need to talk to cancer, we need to talk to problems, "remove him to yonder place." And Jesus said, "and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Well, you heard the teaching about faith and prayer. Well, I'm done, and I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that message. God is a good God. Yes, he is. And that's what we need to realize. He's not here to destroy us, but to bring us blessing, his blessings. Thank you. That was a great message there. God wants the best for us, and he is the best.
Thank you.
Amen. You gave me joy more than I ever had. Tiara?
Yes.
It is up to you.
Hello. Okay. It's not anything really long. But I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. This morning I woke up a little, you know, a little down. And this was the first scripture the Lord gave me today when I woke up, like literally, when I woke up, it told me directly to go there. And it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." When I begin to think about this scripture, and let me think of every other scripture that just matters so much, because the Lord's promises stand, and nothing can take away what God has for you, because what's for you is for you. And through our infirmities, that power of Christ may rest upon me. So it just made me think of even like how it says in Ephesians 3 and 20, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think through the power which worketh in me. The Lord is letting me know, because he lives and he resides on the inside of me, I'm well able to get through all things, even through worriness or sadness or downness or times of troubles, wars, whatever we are going through in our life, whatever mountains we're having to climb. He let me know right then and there that you're able to do all things, because you're. He said you're more than a conqueror through me. So just know that you can tell that mountain, get hints behind you. He said if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. But he just let me know today, Tiara, trust in me. Trust in me, and I'm well able to do all things. And I just thank him for that, because before my day even got started, he knew what I was going to face today. He knew my problems. He prepared me for what was to come, because the first thing I went to when I woke up was 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. So I just want to encourage someone out there that his, you know, the power within you, God that lives inside of you, is more power than we can ever imagine. And because we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we are pre-warned, pre-prepared for things to come. And being pre-prepared, he also gives us peace, liberty, and freedom as we go through these mountains. So I just want to thank him for that. May the Lord have a blessing over the reading of his word. You all stay blessed, and thank you.
Praise God. That was good. We got to remember that our love for... Just think about how much love God has for us. And we can't even tap into that love. You know, we can't even comprehend that love, you know. We're talking about someone willing to give the life of their only begotten son. And the only begotten Son loves us enough to give his life to redeem us. You see, we've never experienced that kind of love from each other. I know sometimes we say we love, and we even say we love God, but we don't even know how to comprehend that kind of love. But once we start getting closer to God, we start reflecting that kind of love, and we begin to display it in our lives. People began to see a love from us that just moves their hearts that they've never seen before, even though that love is not as pure as the love of Christ. As we get closer to God, our love becomes more pure. In other words, it's kind of like gold. We put it in the fire, and as it gets hotter, all the impurities began to come to the top, and we began to take the impurities off, and the gold becomes more pure. Real pure gold is like glass. You can see through it. There are no impurities in it. It's just pure gold. And I just thank God that he's given me that kind of love. You know, even as much as I love now, as much as I can look past the faults of others, still I don't have the same love that Jesus had. And I'm venturing toward that love. I want to go toward the love. Sometimes we quit short because we say, well, there's no way we can get there. Well, there is a way we can get there, or he wouldn't tell us to do that. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him, that begot, loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So we're talking about a love that we have never experienced, but a love that we desire. Everyone desires a love with no strings attached, no cost, no price. Everyone desires a love when they're in the company of someone. They can just go to sleep knowing that that person loves them so much that they will protect them. They will provide. They will proclaim them. They won't ever do anything to hurt them. That is the love we desire. Whether we like it or not, we desire that love. And a lot of times we are hurt because we expect someone to love us like Jesus loves us. And we get where we won't forgive because that person didn't love us enough. Well, the only way that we are capable of loving like Jesus is we grow in the Word of God. And the Word of God began to press upon us and press out all of the physical and all of the fleshly desires out of us. And once he starts pressing out those desires, then his desires begin to rise inside of us. Those desires where we are important to one another. In other words, I began to love myself unconditional. Then I began to love my neighbor unconditional. Remember, I'm going to treat my neighbor the way I treat myself. So as I grow in the things of God, I began to treat myself the way Jesus treated me. He was willing to die for me. And I want to be willing to die that self will grow into the life of Jesus. I want to be willing to die as I grow into the love and the kindness of Jesus then I will grow into the love and kindness for others. I'll be willing to die to see someone go to heaven. I'll be willing to die for my wife. I'll be willing to die for my children. I'll be willing to die for my enemy as though they love me. That is the kind of love I want to venture into. I don't want to settle where I am. I want to get to that point, and it's kind of like John 3:16. I want to get to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the little word so, two letters? So gives us an unlimited love. God so loved the world. In other words, no matter how high you were, he loved you. No matter how low you were, he loved you. No matter how wide you were, you can never get out of the scope of God's love. That's the kind of love I want, where no matter how bad a person is, they will never get out of the scope of my love. I will still love them unconditional. I will still want to forgive them no matter what they do. I want kind of love where I don't have to think about it. I don't have to think about it. That I realize that the things we possess are material things, and those are not the important things in our lives. Even though we don't want anybody to rip us off, but they're not important. They're not as important as the person who rips us off. Those things really don't matter to us up against the person who stole from us. That's what we got to get. Remember, man rebelled against God. He hated God with a passion. He tried everything he could to dethrone God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How can I get there? Let's see. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we can accomplish that kind of love, because the only person that would try to stop us is the devil. And we have power over the devil. And think about right here where he says, think about it. They are of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. So the possibility is there. It's already inside of us. We just need to develop that love. And we develop that love by getting away from darkness. We develop that love by saying no to darkness. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do anything that would hurt my brother. So if I'm not walking the way I ought to walk before God, I'm hurting those who are watching me, because they're going to walk astray because I'm walking astray. They're going to hurt other people because I'm hurting other people, and I'm professing to know him. So as I grow in the things of God, I began to move those blocks that my life was built on. anger and bitterness and adultery and fornication, all of these buildings that I had for my foundation, I began to move those and place in their place the cornerstone, the rock of ages, the rock that Jesus built the church upon, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what I began to replace those demonic blocks with. So that gives me a better chance, a better perspective on loving like God. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That should be our desire. Then we can say, he's able. We'll have that he's able inside of us. Nothing will be able to stop us because we will have he's able inside of us to do exceeding. We will have that inside of us. When someone crossed us, we would still love them because we would have he's able inside of us, exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. We will have that inside of us. That would be our protection from letting demonic forces control us to hate because of the word of God we study. He says, we can do with it, do this. He says we can do this. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. We've got God inside of us. Amen. We've got God inside of us. So we can love. We have the possibility to love. We also have the mind of Christ. The Bible says, who's going to instruct God? We have the mind of Christ. So if we got the mind of Christ, we need to develop that mind by moving the thoughts of the world out of our minds. The world says you're going to hate somebody. You can't love everybody. You can't love those you don't know, but they can hate those they don't know. We can love because we possess God inside. We've got God all inside of us. It is not a God plated. It is God all the way. Kind of like a ring, you got gold plated and gold filled. But we're talking about pure God all over us. We have that love inside of us because we've been born again. Our spirits are alive by the Holy Spirit, and he is love. He is the spirit of truth. And as we grow in him, we begin to listen to him. We begin to walk away from those things that had us bound, the chains of hatred, the chains of bitterness, the chains of anger. They had us bound, and we walked out of them. And we can still go higher. Amen. We can still go higher because we have the God thing. The sky is not the limit. God is the limit. And there is no limit in God. He's infinity. Amen. I like that. He's infinity. He just keeps on going. In other words, God is in God, but we keep learning about him because he is so much higher in knowledge than us. He's so much higher in wisdom and understanding. So we can constantly grow in him. We can constantly walk before him in love, and we can constantly walk before the world so they can see our love. It is amazing how much we can love. It is amazing how much we can give. I didn't know I could do what I'm doing now, but somehow when God comes into your life, you began to do those things you couldn't do. There was no way I could do the things I couldn't do. But I'm not doing the things I couldn't do with my strength anymore. As I studied the Word of God, I began to increase my faith. And as I increased my faith, I began to increase my prayer life. You see, my prayer life is not me talking to God only. It is me listening to God, listening to the sweetness of his love. That is what motivates me to want to pray, because I get to hear my God. I get to see my God in the spiritual realm. I get to feel that God. Paul says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But when you start growing in God, you cease to be that man who has dull ears, who has blinded eyes, who has calluses on their hearts when they can't feel God. But as we begin to grow, ears become sharper, our eyes become sharper, our hearts become softer, so he can absorb the love of God. That's what this is about. We'll be back. You're the love. You're the one that I love. And the more I love him, the more I will keep his commandments. Because everything that God gives us, we can do. All we have to do is love. There is no law in love. Got to remember that. There is no law in love. Once I can love you unconditionally, I mean love you without any cost, without any price, once I can love you, then I can break the ice inside of you. In other words, I won't stop until you benefit from my love. I won't stop until you are able to respond to that love and open your heart and enjoy that love. I won't stop. I won't say that there is no use because of my love. There is a use. I can imagine God having such a hard time with some of us, but he wouldn't give up. As much as we fought him, as much as we rejected him, and we began to give him excuses, but his love kept chipping away, kept chipping away, kept chipping away at our hearts. The coldness of our hearts, he just kept warming it up with his love. He just kept breaking grounds in our hearts until we said, Jesus, you are Lord. And I believe that God the Father raised you from the dead. That's what happened to us. God kept chipping away. And that's the way we ought to chip away. We ought to keep chipping away. They may not look like they want to turn. They look like they're getting worse. But guess what? The love of God just starts chipping away and chipping away. I can't give up on you. I can't give up on you because eternity is too long and the fire in hell is too hot. I can't let you go to hell without a fight. I'm going to fight for your soul. I'm going to fight for you because I love you. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The greater one in me won't let me stop loving you. The greater one inside of me won't let me stop helping you and reaching out and touch you. The greater one inside of me won't let me do that. Because that's where the power is. Once you let the Holy Spirit come and indwell you, then you have something inside of you that won't let you hold your peace about truth, won't let you just hold your peace about helping others. When you let God come and rest on your heart, he will be so heavy on your heart that you will have to break the ice around your heart will have to break, because once he just starts setting on your heart with that love of warmth, that love of grace, that love of kindness, he began to send that bulldozer in and began to take off that ice, just kill the ice. So your heart will start toward him. It's kind of like having your heart stop. And God began to massage your heart with his love. He began to massage that heart with the love of his fingers. He began to call life back into that heart. He began to call himself back into that heart. And then that heart comes alive, and then my mouth confesses that Jesus is Jesus, truly Lord, and God the Father raised him from the dead. It changes your confession. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you worship. It changes the way you praise God. You're not afraid to praise God in the midst of darkness because of your love for God and your love for those who are watching you. You began to do what's right. You began to tell the truth in every situation because of your love. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to the Father except through me. In other words, I'm the love. I'm the love that makes the way for you to get to the Father. I'm the love that makes you see the truth. I'm the love that makes you see real life. I'm the love. I love you. The one that Paul says to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. In other words, you can't figure it out. You can't figure out somebody loving you for nothing. Because we are used to paying something. We've got to give something. You give somebody a ride, they got to give you something. So they won't be beholden to them. They've got to give you something. But Jesus went to the cross, and he died for us. And there was nothing we could have gave him because of his love for us. There was nothing we could have done for him because of his love for us. That's what love is about. It's about unconditional, conditional merits. There's nothing you can do to get it. There's nothing you can pay to get it. You get it by receiving your forgiveness. You get it by receiving that love that comes from God. That's how you get it. You become a receiver, and we don't know how to receive good and perfect gifts. That's why God has to draw us to the Lord Jesus, because we are not accustomed to receiving good and perfect gifts. No, no, we're not used to that. We're not used to receiving something we can't earn, something we can't deserve, something we can't pay for. Because we need to be able to say, I earned my way. We need to be able to say, I paid my way. We need to be able to say, I learned my way through. I went to school to learn this. But I discovered there's nothing I could do to get what God has given me. There's nothing I could have paid to get what God has given me. No school could have given me the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding of God's love. It came from God, because nobody knew this love except God, who is love. And I just pray tonight that you will want this love. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to really grasp. Everything I've said tonight, my mind, my intelligence, my wisdom, and my understanding can't even comprehend. But you know my heart hears this love. My heart sees this love. My heart feels this love. And I can't even explain it to myself. I sure couldn't explain it to you. But I can tell you, if you would just receive it, your heart will be changed. My heart is changed. And my heart is being changed. Oh, my God. My heart is changed from my past. And my heart is being changed. Amen. It's being changed. I'm going from glory to glory, from love to love, from mercy to mercy. There's new love that's coming inside of me that's motivating me to love more, to give more. Oh, my God, thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you tonight that we have the opportunity to experience a love, even though we can't experience, we're not the fullness of your love, but what we are experiencing, it is so much higher than we had before that we would call it perfect. We would call it the fullness, because as far as we are concerned, it is perfect. It is the fullness of Christ. It's your fullness. And we know that there is no limit on what we can do. So we just have so much to look forward to. And I want to thank you tonight, Lord, that you've given me this message. Not my message. I didn't have you reveal this message to me, Lord. You spoke to me. You gave it to me because I can't comprehend the love that you have. Unless you share that love with me, it is impossible for me to share it with others. Thank you tonight, Lord. I just love you tonight. Thank you for the speakers tonight, Lord. We just love you because you are what you are. You are our love.
My Lord, what love is this that pays so dearly that I, the guilty one, may go free. Amazing love, oh, a sacrifice, the Son of God.
Sierra, Shannon. Praise God.